For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
I'm on now, Mike. Thank you. Okay. Going to get started here. So today, the presentation is titled The States of the Christian, and it's asking and trying to answer the question of what is in control of the soul. At this point in time, I'm going to, as the kids leave here, take a moment, we'll go in prayer. Dear Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you have given us. Thank you for the ability just to come here in a free nation, free society, and to worship you without fear of any repercussion. Father, I just ask you today that the words that are going to be presented, that they make sense, and then you mix it with understanding and meaning to each individual. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to Genesis. We'll go to Genesis 3:6 here in a second. Here's the outline we're going to do. We're going to have some background information, because what I present information, it's totally from my realm of way I view the world and such, and so it's different than what Roy does, so I'll kind of give you some of that. We'll talk about the states of the soul, then we'll roll into the grace system of comprehension, spend a lot of time there, and then we'll ask the question, what is in control of our soul? And then we'll talk a little bit about focus of sin real briefly, then we'll follow up with conclusions. The whole presentation, everything you're going to hear today, you've heard it many, many, many times. It's just like taking a diamond, ladies, you may have on your hand, and you take the diamond, you have one view of it, and you're used to that one view on your hand, and you look at it this way. But if you take it and you rotate it about 5-10 degrees, and you see another facets of it, you see something slightly different. It's the same diamond. This is the same information. I'm just going to put it in words that I can understand. You've been told and heard of anthropomorphisms and anthropopathisms. You've heard that from the pulpit. Today is a lot of what I call propatricisms. It's words that I have to put things in my mind is very finite and very small. I have to have this in ways I can understand it. And so a lot of this is what this is, okay? You all have your own backgrounds, and so you take in and understand information a different way. So I appreciate that. And so give me some liberty here. You also will hear about dispensations a little bit. That's mentioned through here. So the background on dispensations, I'm not going to review this slide. Y'all have seen it before. You'll hear this come up time and time again, but it is a nice piece of information. This one's done by Emil Schmidt back in, I think, in 1980 or 86, and I borrowed it from him. Then, from the nomenclature, as I do the presentation, life is, we have actions and we have results. That's what it is. So you'll see always I have an arrow on the left side, and then I have a result on the right side. So every action we take or God takes, there's an outcome, a result. That's life. That's the way we're all put together. It's the way life happens. So let's define state for a moment. I don't mean a country, a government body, or anything like that. You'll hear state in here. State, from definition from Google, you know, the particular condition that something is in a specific time. A motor condition from being from Merriam-Webster. For Jason Berlin, it'd be like when he was deployed, he'd be calling out for a situation report from the troops under his command. He would need to know the state of what was going on at that moment in time, what the environment was, where the enemy was, where friendly was, where civilians were, and the environment. So the state. So look at Genesis for a moment. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave it some to her husband with her, and he ate it. So there was a decision, an action, and an outcome. And we're going to look at this over and over today. Now, if we go look at the age of Gentiles here, we had perfect creation and likeness of God. Looking at, and I have Genesis 1:26 and 27 here. I'll read it from the Amplified version. I like that one. Then God said, "Let us Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let him have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image and likeness of God. He created him male and female, and he created them. So we have creation, and the result of that was his body, soul, human spirit. So if you look at the states, I talked about states, so you'll see this repeated over and over in this presentation. At this point in time, it's trichotomous. It's true, body, soul, and spirit. In fellowship, yes, in fellowship, true. Human spirit existed, true. Old sin nature did not exist. Key point here, does not exist. Then we have the sin of disobedience. And we really just read about that in Genesis 3, 6. And so the action of sin of disobedience, the outcome here is you still have a soul, you still have a body, but you have old sin nature, and the human spirit is dead at that point in time. I apologize for the corny diagram of a tombstone, but I had to have something graphically to depict it. So this is what you get. Now we look at the states again. Trichotomous is false, right? Because there's no human spirit. Fellowship, no, false. Human spirit, dead, false. Old sin nature comes into play. So let's take two little points here on that. One, it's acquired at the moment of sin of disobedience. That's when it's acquired. It was created and injected by Satan. This was not God's doing. Okay, God did not create this. Satan did. Also, note about the Holy Spirit. I mean, about the old sin nature here. It's always a look at it and make it akin to a computer virus. It's always trying to take control of your soul. And there's this battle going on constantly for control of the soul. And so from this point in time in human history, mankind has always had an old sin nature. It's passed down from the father to the offspring. So that's the way it is. Now, let's go over to the age of Gentiles. Excuse me, something just went really wrong then. That's right. From the age of Gentiles, I got myself confused. Going from the purple there, always use purple to represent royalty. And so they accepted the provision of salvation by the slain animal. And it's that point in time the human spirit's reactivated and you have it. And still, your states are body, soul, and human spirit. So your trichotomous is true, in fellowship's true. Old sin nature always exists. It doesn't go away. And so they're in fellowship until they sin again. So now, continuing on, notice I put in here, I put a / age of Israel in there. And that is because I took some presentation liberty for time purposes. It gets kind of repetitive here. It's always the same, though. Salvation is done by accepting Jesus Christ by faith. Okay, that's how that's always is. So at this point in time, we have human copulation plus God creates, you have an offspring. Again, offspring's born, body, soul, old sin nature, but there's no human spirit. They have not accepted salvation at that point in time. So that's where they came up to be. So if we look at this, and here's again the states again, trichotomous false, in fellowship false, old sin nature true, human spirits false dead, Adam's original sin imputed to Cain and Abel, therefore they have old sin nature. So Adam takes it all a lot, all through, over and over. Adam did this, Adam did that. Could you do any better? Ask yourself a question. No, you couldn't. Be honest. No, you wouldn't. You'd done the same thing. I don't think, because you're human. Looking at Romans 12 through 21, in particular, is focused on verses 14 and 17. It says, yet death ruled over mankind from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, and even over those who had not sinned, as Adam did. Adam is a type of him, Christ, who was to come, but in reverse, Adam brought destruction. Christ brought salvation. Verse 17, for if by the trespasses of Adam, death reigned through one Adam, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness reign eternal life through the one Jesus Christ. So, as we continue on here, next point to this, there's more Romans 5:12, 5:15, 18:19, 6:23a, and Adam all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. So we talk a lot about this, you know, the old sin nature and how this comes into play. Then you have, you know, you can go study more of this. Is go study the doctrine on our website, you know, life to the soul. Great, great piece of study there. And then also, you don't know, the whole time, if you notice, I've never mentioned the Holy Spirit. Never in play here, right? Because hadn't had Pentecost yet. So, but we do have endowment. In the past 6 months, if you pay attention carefully, endowment has been mentioned from this pulpit at least three times in three different sermons. I think in the last 6 months you had that. And so the temporary power of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon an individual in the age of Israel to accomplish a specific goal or task. So examples, Joseph ruling over the people in Israel and Egypt, seamstress making the garments for Aaron, the craftsman that made the articles for the temple of God, and Joshua being appointed as leader after Moses. So those are all examples of endowment. Now, jump over to church age. You have human copulation. Outcome here, and the result is, again, body, soul, old sin nature, no human spirit. Trichotomy is false. And fellowship, false. Old sin nature is true. Cannot get rid of that old sin nature. Now, human spirit is false. Adam's original sin imputed to us again at birth, so we all have an old sin nature. That's what we all get to deal with today. Same verses over. Now, we have the realization of the need for salvation. The Holy Spirit acting as the human spirit, and the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place. The person accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So at that point in time, greatest things happen here. We can have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at this point in time. And so that was represented by the triangle. The soul, human spirit, own sin nature. So the own sin nature still exists. So again, the person at this point in time is, they are trichotomous, and they're trichotomous all the way until physical death, right? Remember, you know, it's through life, we get to have that. We always have body, soul, and human spirit. Very, very important, because that's the only way you're going to understand anything given to us from the pulpit and be able to understand it and have a place to store it is by having human spirit. You got to have that. So, trichotomous is true. Fellowship's true. Old sin nature is true. Human spirit, now we have that. That's true. And the key part here is, I kind of mentioned a moment ago, is the human spirit is the only place. That's where this information you take in, you bring it to your soul, you metabolize it in your human spirit, and then that's where you're going to draw all that information back in that difficult time in life, or even a good time in life, depending upon what the situation is, and you've got to apply it. You're going to pull that information out of the human spirit, and then you'll put it to the soul, because the soul, remember, controls the body. Because remember, you are a soul, you have a body. And so therefore, the soul controls the body, and the soul gets information from two places, either the world, or it gets it from the human spirit. So, and as I said before, the human spirit is permanent at salvation. It cannot be taken away. So then the pattern continues. Shortly thereafter salvation, you sin. And so notice how I moved the OSN up here. I moved it up, kind of controlling the soul. And you have God the Father, Holy Spirit, Son. That's all pushed off to the side. Who's in control? You still have indwelling, but you don't have. It's not what's in control, not in fellowship. So if you look at the states again at this point in time, you're trichotomous, it's true. In fellowship, false. Old sin natures is true. Human spirit, true. And the OSN is in control by the believer's own volition, own decision. It's free choice. You made the decision, I made the decision to sin. So, and remember when I say you, I got like four fingers pointing back at me. Okay, so And we're not talking about the person beside you. We're talking about you, and we're talking about me. So then we have this great gift. 1 John 1:9, we have the opportunity to use it. We realize we sin. We realize we need to get back in fellowship. And so then we utilize 1 John 1:9. And the result of that is old sin nature is pushed aside, not in control at that point in time. Holy Spirit can come back and control. You're in fellowship. So trichotomous, true. Fellowship, true. Old sin nature is still true. Human spirit's true. In fellowship until we sin again. And just repeats over and over, right? That's why I cut out all the, didn't do anything about the age of Israel. Okay. So we've had a review of the states of the soul right there. And how these states and the various attributes, how they take on different values based upon given conditions and various actions we take. So you've seen this drawing before. Some of you have. It's been around for about 10 years, believe it or not. I went back and looked when I first did it. We're going to talk a little, we're not going to go into all this. Y'all have seen it before. We will focus on the yellow boxes, the grace system of comprehension, utilizing faith, and then spiritual fuel. We'll kind of talk about that. A little bit. So that's where we're going to focus in right now. And really what it's about, it's the grace system of comprehension. So, grace system of comprehension. What is a system? This is my definition, taken from various sources over life. It's a group of separate processes linked together to achieve a goal or task. Separate processes to achieve a goal or task. So, you go buy a car. You got this nice car. You've signed all the paperwork. You're driving off. You go to drive it off the lot. Well, they don't give you a key, or they don't give you that proximity card, which a lot of cars use now. Where you can punch the button and start it. You can get in this car. It's yours. Or you drive off without a key. Nothing happens because the system that starts the motor isn't running. Because you got to get the motor started. Then you can put it in gear. There's transmit drive system, and all these processes work together for you to drive this car. So it's a group of separate processes linked together. Now, the goal of the grace system comprehension is to provide a system for the believer by faith to fully understand the Word of God. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not an IQ thing. Okay? It's a great gift. Now, I have defined and looked at it over time and drank a lot of coffee looking at it and a lot of driving in the car by myself that I do. I see that the grace system comprehension has three key processes that we will look at a little more detail, and that's the extract process, the transform process, and the load process. Okay. And without all this working together, you know, without this understanding, without it, you having the understanding of the spiritual information, you'll have no opportunity to ever be able to apply it. So that's why the grace system comprehension is so crucial into your understanding of the Word of God. One key thing that I'll point out here, remember, you got to be in fellowship to use it. Okay? It is a light switch. So look at this drawing here. You don't ever see the grace system of comprehension really talked about from the unbeliever standpoint. We do lightly cover it a lot of times. But example of the human body. And if you ever stand back and I always call these coffee moments. You're sitting back by yourself, drinking a cup of coffee and thinking, human body is so beautifully architected. It's beautiful how it's built, and it's so complicated in separate systems, and they all process it. They come together, and it works. But for the unbeliever, let's look at it from their perspective. Eyes and ears. You got a soul. There's no human spirit. So the only thing when gospel information is presented, as they can do, is it comes into the soul, which is a repository for empirical information. It gets decrypted, transformed by the Holy Spirit. And notice the arrow going back up. It goes up to the soul. We've already said the soul is going to control the body. At that point in time, the individual gets to make a decision. Either they've already had the realization of the need for salvation. Are they going to act upon it? Are they going to make the decision and act upon what the Holy Spirit is telling them to accept and understand the provision of salvation? It's their decision. So that's how it works. There is no human spirit. So everything that's given from the pulpit doesn't make much sense, or given from the Bible or a song or whatever it may be. It doesn't have it. It just doesn't work. So take it, the same drawing, and pick it from the human body, eyes, ears, processes, and soul. And from a believer standpoint, let's look at it that way. So the soul, notice I said it's repository for empirical information. Okay, that's science, biology, calculus. That's the how the electricity is flowing through these lights. It's how these lights here don't work because there's no light bulb in them. That's all empirical information, right? It's stuff that it's very much alive in the physical world that we live in. That's what your soul understands, okay? So as information is given to, spiritual information is given, it passes. The soul brings it in, because remember, the soul, you're paying attention using eyes and ears. Okay, it goes to the soul, goes down to the human spirit, it gets decrypted, transformed, and stored in the human spirit. And again, we have the double-headed arrow, so it goes down, and when you need to use it, you have it. You have your spiritual fuel, spiritual information, knowledge to make a decision. So whether we use this information or not that we have stored in there, that's really what I call spiritual wisdom. Are you going to apply the information that you have in any given situation? You always choose not to. So let's look at what I call the ETL of the GSC. Okay, so that's the extract transform load process. Let's look at that for a moment in more detail. So God has given us ears and eyes. That's how we take information from the world. That's how you, when you read the Bible, listen to a sermon, that's how you take in the information. Remember, you got two of them, two of each. It's pretty important. I only have one mouth. So transform, when you take the information in, it goes to the soul. So the soul is the thinking part of us. That's what you talked about. It accepts this information by faith, key part by faith. Not always are you is it going to resonate with you and you understand it. For a couple of reasons. You've heard it mentioned many times, Roy has said, wow, you just told me X, Y, and Z. That's really great. I've never got that before. Well, yeah, we were probably checked out. That's the reason why. You weren't paying attention. You weren't fellowship, etc. I've been in all those scenarios, so I can say that with great confidence. Then you have the Holy Spirit for the unbeliever. Remember, this job, at that point in time, you don't have a human spirit. So how is the transformation information going to happen and the decryption of it? Is, you know, it makes the gospel usable information, allows the person to understand and accept salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do in this transformation process. For the human spirit, for you and I, as a believer, it transforms, decrypts information, and we store it in epinosis form. And that's what's going on. So it's transforming it. And then we got to load it. So the load process, we're going to take that the spiritual information, we're going to put it in the human spirit and store it for future use and recall. And as you saw in that drawing previously I had, where he said, we get situations in life, and we're going, you're in fellowship, I really want to do the right thing, and you go over here and you run over to the file cabinet for spiritual information, make this great decision, and guess what? You don't have any. That's because you haven't spent time. That's the reason why. It takes time. It's not like you're going to read a book and instantaneously get it. And then generally what happens is panic ensues. So very important to have something loaded there to make a decision by. Back in February, I was with Mary, and we're at the hospital. And that was the neatest experience of watching someone apply the Word of God, pull from the human spirit, that knowledge and spiritual, and use it. Very bad situation Mary was in. Very bad. And I sat there and witnessed it. You know, she thought she was helping, I was helping her. Actually, she was helping me. I was saying, yeah, this is how it's to be done. Because what she didn't know, 6, 8 months, a year before, I got to witness the exact same thing. But from the opposite side of the view, my brother passed away. Other individuals. So I saw how to do it right, how to do it wrong. So when you get in those bad times in life, you better have some information, folks. Okay. Talk about some basic points of the grace system of comprehension. As I said before, the soul controls the body. Keep that in mind. The soul can comprehend only empirical knowledge. The human spirit allows for the comprehension of spiritual knowledge. Grace system of comprehension only functions when the believer is in fellowship. So you can be in, you can really be paying attention to the sermon, really into reading the Bible, but if you're not in fellowship, guess what? It's like a roadblock is there and you're just not getting through. Or if you're in the networking world, your router's turned off. Or the connection to this HDMI cable's not working. Okay. Then only the believer possesses the grace system of comprehension. We already said that before in the other little drawings. The unbeliever doesn't get it. And the human spirit's the target and storage for spiritual information. You look at 1 Corinthians 2:10. We'll go into that. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Another great study on this is Hebrews 4:12 and the dynamics of the grace system of comprehension, all available on our website. And since the believer, remember, does not possess this, spiritual knowledge received is not understood and does not have a place to be stored. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 14. You can read that whole passage. I'm going to go right into, from Amplified, I'm going to go to verse 14. It says, but the natural, unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are foolish, absurd, and illogical to him. And he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. Think about that. Just don't have the ability. Now, you hear me use the word decrypt, encrypt a lot here. That's, again, it goes to kind of my background in life. I'm going to take an example here, and you've seen this example. It came out with General Flynn lately in the news. If you pay for General Flynn, General Flynn got himself in trouble. He used an unsecure line to have a conversation, and it was easily picked. You know, his conversation was listened in on. And so go back to, I'm not going to go on the politics of that, but go read about it. General Flynn got himself in pretty deep trouble, still in trouble. He's in the news Friday. So we take an example of two verses and what they mean to you and I and what they mean to an unbeliever. So you take 1 John 1:9, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And so when we read them, what does the eyes and ears take in? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay. Well, if you're an unbeliever, that doesn't make much sense, does it? Then you got Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's another, I love this one. Because I'm an action-oriented person, right? I want to see something happen. I don't want to talk about it all day long. I love to do work, physical things. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. So if you take that in, and you're an unbeliever, well, this is what the unbeliever sees. I know that looks like gibberish to y'all. It's not. That's actually encrypted using a SHA-1 algorithm. It stands for a secure hash algorithm. It's developed by the NSA. So I got my nerd on one Saturday morning. Wrote the program right quick and did a little reading. And I wrote a program and ran this piece of text through it. And so it spit out. It doesn't mean anything to an unbeliever. That's the equivalent of what it means. It has no meaning. Okay, so therefore, if it has no meaning, there's no place to store. They don't have a soul. They don't have the process here. So the grace system comprehension is very, very important to our daily life and our spiritual life. What do you and I get out of this? We get to 1 John 1:9. That's the process, the method which we can get back in fellowship. I mean, if you don't get anything on this today, as Mr. Hughes used to tell you, make them mad, glad, or sad. You ought to come out away from this being glad, because, boy, believer, we got some good stuff. And so you look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it's salvation by grace. There's nothing we can do to be saved. Nothing. You can take one action. There's one action, but it's not a do. It's not a work of your hands. It is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith. That's it. Nothing. If you're around me very much, you know I love to cut it, paint it, and beat it. But that's just not going to get you saved. So let's leave from the grace of comprehension. Ask the question again, what is in control of the soul? Is it old sin nature or Holy Spirit? Talk about sin here for a moment. So sin is very focused on an object. You hear about it all the time. B, if you take an introspective look at yourself, when you do something, you go, you've totally became very narrow focused on what you're doing. You care less about everything else that was going around you, and you're going to achieve that no matter what. It happens time and time again, and we lose sight of the big picture. In this example, I drew a boat. MG, it's a ship. Okay, ship. Mike, submarine ship. Okay. You know, and who's in control of this? Who's driving this ship or this boat? Is it, you know, is it going to be the old sin nature or the Holy Spirit? We know the soul is going to be the one really doing the driving, but who's going to be influencing it, okay? So it's very pointed. And then I show a wake coming off the side here. And, you know, sin and death can happen. You can destroy personal relationships, professional relationships. You can damage your body. You can quench the Holy Spirit. Obviously have loss of fellowship. Why do I use this? This example here is this. I grew up on Cedar Bayou. Literally, I played on that bayou all my life. My dad taught me how to water ski on that bayou, taught Edie how to water ski, and her sister, Shirley, how to water ski, my cousins. Just south of Roseland Park, how far it is, it's beyond the Highway 99 bridge now and the trestle. There's a great piece of body of water right there. It's beautiful. It's a little wider. And you're away from all the people in the park. I don't like sunny boat drivers. I hate them. I hate sunny. They want to drink. They want to do everything else. You run around, show off the brand new boat. You want to water ski, you go down away from the park. So you get down there, and it's a great place to ski. And you're a new skier like me, and I'm holding on. See me all hunched over as you see new skiers. And here comes a tugboat. Tugboat produces a very huge wake to a new skier. And so that these wake analogy here, that's like a tugboat. You've got to ride through that, and it causes everything to get messed up. That's what sin does. It messes everything up because it can mess your relationships up. In this instance, in the water skiing example, you're probably going to fall, you know, and so, because you don't have the skills. I don't have the skills to handle it. And so, by having information in the soul, in the human spirit and in soul utilizing that information, you can navigate this situation and not have this occur and all the fallout that happens. And so, that's what the wake is there. And the object is seen on how focused we can become on it. An example there is us deer hunting a year ago. Biggest buck I ever saw in my life. I was like, damn, there was no need to measure this with a scope. This guy had 13 inches on the spread or greater, and he's mine. I'm eating him. I already had fried him. I already had back trail cut up. Rifle wasn't even mounted yet, but I had him. He's mine. Minor detail. I forgot to make a noise. I was so lost on the big picture of what everything had to happen to harvest this animal. I forgot to make a noise. Had 120-yard charge. Maybe I could make that shot all day long. But it was horrible. Flat missed him. I lost sight. Anytime you lose sight of the big picture, you will mess up. Needless to say, that buck survived. My ego is still crushed. So some concluding remarks here. So what's in control of the soul? Either, obviously, you've heard it five times, six times now. It's either the old sin nature or the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Now, how does that occur? It's by your own volition, my own volition, decision-making process, in combination with the application of spiritual information that's in our soul, in epinosis form. Okay? In human spirit. I say soul, but I mean human spirit. So, if you look at a quick definition of volition, if you don't already have this down, it's the act of making a choice or decision, the power of choosing and determining. That's what it is. You know, then when you get down to it, you got to make a decision to act. And you've seen the arrows over and over. Act. Roy uses verbs. He goes through all the verb presentation. I use act. You got to do something. And actually acting is the hardest. Making that decision to act is the hard part. Once you've made the decision that you're going to apply the spiritual information you have and you stored over time, you're going to make it. You're going to make it well. You'll be successful. It may be difficult. There's going to be some things to go along with it. In the end, you're going to be very successful. You know, we do a lot of talking in life. I do a lot of talking. Eventually, it comes down to this. We have to make a decision to act upon the information we have. What it comes down to. You can do it or not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we've had to spend together and review this information. We ask you just to watch over each of us as we go on and we prepare for the next speaker and pray for Roy. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.